Amen. Well, we are so blessed to have you. You know, if you're here today, God brought you for a reason. One, to hear a message from Him, but also to help this fellowship grow. You know, we started this church back in 1999, and one of the things that was said in a church plant that only about, 7-8% of churches that plant will last more than 4 years. Well, God has blessed this church. He's blessed us with you guys. You guys make the church what it is, and we're so blessed to have it. And the great thing about it is again, we get to go start a brand new facility in April. And, you know, we've talked about how God has blessed this church. You know, in 2000, that one lady had given us a check for $87,500. That was now turned into $1.7 million. You know, and we're like, gosh, how awesome is that? And the blessings keep coming. And Pam and I went out the other day, ate lunch with some friends, and they said, we want to give this check to you. And they gave the church a check for $10,000 to go back in to what we're doing. So God keeps giving, and you know, you just can't outgive God. That's one of the great things about our Lord. So it's exciting. It's a great place to be. We love you guys. If you're a guest with us today, thank you so much for coming, and we're just gonna just bask in the love of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We've been talking about a sermon series that we started out. The initial name of it was "That Wasn't the Picture That I Painted." And I think all of us, when we start life, when we get married, or, you know, we go to college, whatever, however our life starts, you know, somewhere along the way you go, that's really not the picture that I painted. That's not that Cinderella kind of romance that I looked at, or, you know, I didn't know he would snore, or I didn't know that she would snore. And, you know, the whole thing about it is it just wasn't the picture, so we're beginning to learn. Last week we talked about how do you know that you're in a bad relationship, and, you know, churches are full of singles today, so we're going to talk about singles. And if you're married, you go, well, gosh, why'd I come? Because I want to show you some things, how you can be a part of this whole process. And we've called it single, satisfied, and sent. Okay? So, I don't care who you are, if you are married or if you are single. When you're over here alone, Psalms 91 says, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High can abide in the shadow of the Almighty. When you and I are outside of that shadow, then you're single and you are by yourself. And that's not a great place to be. There are some very unique dangers of singleness, and one of them is that you become easily deceived. Now, if you think the world, and we've talked about it before, wants you to win, then you're wrong. If you think Satan wants you to win, you are wrong. Also, you're easily discouraged. See, we need encouragement in our life. Or if you're single, it's very easy for you to be derailed just because what life sends our way, and it's easy to derail your devotion to God and your ministry to God if you're sitting over here all by yourself. Well, I'm married. No, there's a lot of times, even though we're married, one person goes this way and one person goes this way, and no one is working toward the cross, so two people are out for a walk all by themselves, and they are single. And that's just a dangerous place to be. There has to be, in all of our lives, a mindset of singleness. If you are a single person, for whatever reason that might be, one, because you chose it, two, because your mate hasn't come, three, because we've had a lot of people in our church that have lost spouses, 4, because you're divorced. Whatever that might be, here's what I want you to understand, is that God wants to use you. He wants to use your faith. He wants to use your time. He wants to use your selflessness. And he wants to use you in such a radical way that you would turn this world upside down for the cause of Christ. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul speaks of marriage. Some people believe that Paul was married at one time and believes that his spouse had died. Other views say that Paul was never married at all. It does not say. But Paul speaks of marriage, and he looks at marriage, and he provides two different specific thoughts in that married single kind of category. First, he talks about those who are single, and then second, he talks about those who are married or desire to get married. Okay? Now, let's read 1 Corinthians 7, 25 and 26. It says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion." Now, have you ever seen that before? Paul is literally sitting down, and Paul is going, this didn't come from the Lord. What Paul is saying is, this is my opinion. Okay? So Paul goes, I have no command of the Lord to say this, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. And then he says, I think. I think then that is good in view of present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. So wherever that person is, Paul said, stay where you're at. If you're married, stay where you're married. If you're single, then stay candidly where you are. Are you, and I love this word, are you bound to your wife? Has she put you in shackles and chains? And I like this piece too. It says, do not seek release, because you ain't going to find the key, okay? You are stuck like Chuck. That's all I got to tell you. So I says, are you released from a wife? Don't go look for another one. But if you marry, and I like this one too, you hadn't sinned. Thank God for that one. I've sinned enough in my life. But yeah, if you're married, don't worry about it. You hadn't sinned, guys. It's okay. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. So, girls, it's okay. If you are married, you hadn't sinned either. And I really love this one. Yet such will have trouble in this life. And I'm just trying to help you. I'm telling you, if you get married, it ain't what you think it's going to be. So Paul says, really, just stay as you are. It's okay. All right. Now, I find it hard to believe in my relationship with my wife that there are trials and troubles, okay? I go to bed at night just being 100% blessed. We've never had a fight in the 35 years that we've been together. That's a lie. I just wanted to say that, you know. And then unending happiness. Why do we have so much medication in our cabinets if there's just unending happiness in our marriages? And then here's a good one, frustration until you die. Here's a great thing, you will die sooner or later. It's going to be okay. And it is hard to be married. Call it what you want. You will face trials. You are going to face troubles. You've got two different individuals trying to merge together. And that's like putting a cat and a dog in a pen and going, it's going to be okay. No, it's not either. Something going to give here in a minute. And then, you know, unending happiness. You will never find in Scripture where God says you are supposed to be happy. You don't. God said in the midst of all of your trials and struggles, we call it joy. Because joy is what we have in the midst of the struggles, because we put our faith and our trust not in self, not in our spouses, but honestly in the other person. Will we frustrate one another? Turn and ask your spouse right now. They'll tell you the answer. Yes. If your spouse goes, don't even ask that question, you know that you probably went too far, okay? In 1 Corinthians 7:29, it says, but I say this, brethren, the time has been shortened so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they have none. Well, what is Paul trying to say? And those who weep as though they do not weep, those who rejoice as though they do not rejoice, and those who buy as though they do not possess. Now, Paul is trying to paint a picture in the midst of that scripture. And what Paul is trying to say is that your attention is very easily distracted. And if Satan can get our detention, our attention, yeah, you will be in detention. But if he can get our focus on something else besides God, then everything about our relationship with each other and candidly our relationship with him is bad. Now in verse 32, he says, but I want you to be free from concern. Why does God want married people or single people to be free from concern? Well, because if we are heavy laden, it's hard for us candidly to see what's important in our life. You know, I counseled with some people the other day, Pam and I did, and one of the things that I said, it's very easy to look on the outside of the fishbowl looking in to see some of the churnings of the water versus being on the inside of the fishbowl because now you're a part of that churning water. But Paul says, my desire is I want you to be free from concern. He says, I don't want you to have any. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord. You know, the passage that says, you know, if you're going to be a pastor or a deacon, you only need to be a man of one wife. Dear God, how could you have 42 wives and even be sane to carry on the things of the Lord? You know, I mean, you couldn't do it. Where do you want to go out to eat tonight, honeys? Yeah, right. Well, we'll just call it in, okay? But it says, one who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, guys, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that our spouses are not important. And wives, I'm not saying that your spouse is not important. What Paul is trying to show and give a picture of, it's very easy if you're married to be distracted just because of life. And Paul is saying if you're single, it's a whole lot easier to stay focused upon the Lord. It says, and his interests are divided. If we are married, it's very easy that our interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, and she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, and honestly, how is she going to please her husband? because she is to submit to her husband unto the Lord. The husband is to treat the wife as Christ treats the church. So there's a lot of significance in those two passages. So again, Paul is going, you know, if you're single, it's okay. Now, in verse 34, he says, "This I say for your benefit." So if you got your Bible, it would be for the reader, "This I say to your benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, not to try to burden you down with anything, but to promote what is appropriate and what is to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord." Now, single-mindedness will promote what is appropriate. If even if we're married, everybody here, when Mike and I worked at another church together, one of the things that we did, we journaled. It was important to spend that undivided time, you know, to secure your closeness to the Lord. I woke up this morning and I journaled. It's important for me to do that. And single-mindedness, when you pull away to go, you know, in a marriage, there has to be you time, there has to be me time, there has to be we time. So all of us need to spend time alone with the Lord, okay? So it's important to secure our devotion and our passion to the Lord, but many will think your singleness, if you're single today, many people think that your singleness is an inhibitor for use in ministry. They don't want to use you. Well, they're single. Okay. They don't have leprosy. It's okay. You know, singleness is okay. Now, I want to show you something, and it's kind of a roundabout way to get there, but it's about David. And it shows you very easily how single and married people don't blend together, okay? So David went, he and his 600 men who were with him, they came to the brook Besor, where those left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400 men. Now, there were 600 guys all together. Now, these are men's kind of men, all right? For 200 were too exhausted to cross the brook, so they remained behind. How many times have you in your married life, because of life, go, "I am just too exhausted to go to church"? We all have. I mean, you wore out because life has a way to do that. Now, it says that David slaughtered them. They went to war with the people that they were chasing. From twilight until the evening of the next day, not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels, and they fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken. He rescued his two wives, but nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons, daughters, spoil, or anything that they had taken for themselves. Now it says David brought it all back, okay? When David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted. So the picture is you got 400 people over here fighting. You got 200 people that were too tired, so they stayed behind. And it says they were too exhausted to follow David, who had also been left at the brook Besor. And when they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him, then David approached the people, greeted them. Then it says in Scripture, "Then all the wicked and worthless men." Now, this doesn't mean that they were wicked. It was just their mindset that was going on. But it says that there were worthless men among them who went with David, and they said, "Because they did not go, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except to every man his wife and his children, so that they may lead them away and depart." Now, the 400 guys going, I don't want your wives. I don't want your children. You take them with you, okay? I don't want them, but you're not getting any of my spoil. You're not taking any of the gold, the riches, the jewels. You're not getting any of that. Society is infamous today about placing people in categories. And either today people are classified as married or they're classified as single. If you're married, then the world thinks that life is good. If you're single, then a lot of people go, that lady's been single or that man's been single for the last 40 years. They've never married. Then something must be wrong with them. But you see, married don't share with singles, and singles don't share with married. And it's kind of like with those 400 that went this way and 200 went this way. When the 400 came back, they're going, we're not sharing with anybody. And the married people today to go, I'm not sharing with the single person. I'm not going to play that game. I don't know what's wrong with them. But we have to change our mindset. Now in Matthew, it says, do not store for yourself treasures on earth. Our focus in life is to, you know, the more we get, the better we are. But it says where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. But it says, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. You know, it's been said, and I know some people are offended by it, but if you look at a person's checkbook, you look at their credit card bills, you will see what is most important in their lives. You will see a lot of people that will give all they can to the church. You'll see people that go out and they're trying to support orphans. You'll see where a person's heart is by what they give and where they're trying to store up their treasures. You know, there's a point in time, you know, I said last week, Mr. Letourneau retired a multi-billionaire. And, you know, the Bible says give 10% to the church. God says, I've given you 100%, but you give 10% back, you live on your 90%. Mr. Letourneau said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the Lord my 90%. I'm going to live on my 10%. And he retired a multi-billionaire. See, we can't outgive God. So it's important for us as we work through singleness and being married that we understand, where can I put the treasure? Where will it do the most good? Now, Matthew says the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. It is very important today because you can see somebody who is a fence sitter. You can see them because, you know, they're not clear. But it says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is dark, how great is the darkness? And, you know, what Matthew's trying to say is, if you are going to be the person God called you to be, married or single, there's a light that's going to shine around you. People are going to know by your words. People are going to know by your actions. People are going to know by the monies that you give. People are going to know who you are. Here's one of the things that absolutely blows my mind. Look on Facebook. And you will see things like, oh, God bless America. Oh, God bless this. And then all of a sudden, you'll see the curse words behind it. And I'm going, give me a break. You know, either we are or we're not. Amen. You know, and I think Facebook is candidly a tool that's used by the devil. Okay? I think Satan has stirred up so much stuff on Facebook, I wish they'd shut it down because half of the stuff that you read is fake. Okay? But if you do want to respond, then I think the thing that's important here is that God needs to see the light in you. Amen. And that's what we're not doing. Now, it's hard for a married couple to stay single-minded to the Lord, okay? Now, if you're married, think about the importance that God said we need to take care of our spouses and then our children. Goodness gracious. You know, when we grew up, everything was at school. You know, you had a little league, but it was played on the weekend. And, you know, like my own granddaughter, she's in a volleyball league trying to get a scholarship to go to college. Well, you know, they start now trying to get scholarships, but they play every day. And one of the biggest days is Sunday. So, you know, moms and dads have to make a decision. Do I spend it with the kids or do I go? You know, that's a tough call, and only you can make it through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have spouses, we have children, we had work, we've got after-school activities. I coach my son's baseball team, and this lady was infamously late. I mean, always late. And I finally told her, I said, listen, you got to be here on time so that these kids can practice. And she started crying. And I'm like, she said, you don't understand. I got 14 kids. And she said, I take them all to ball practice. I said, whenever you get here, it's okay. I can't imagine the draw that that lady had on her with 14 kids, after school activities, school. And then in the midst of all that we do, a little romance for husband and wife. Life is tough. And then what I didn't put in there is your time alone with the Lord. Now, here's what marriage can do. Marriage can make people act like idiots wrapped up as morons, okay? I mean, marriage takes you places you don't want to go. And you look at this to go, I'm supposed to be a Christian. Or you're supposed to be a Christian. Why'd you say that? And then marriage can make spouses turn into cannibals and they just want to eat your head off. I mean, marriage is like supposed to be this blissful Cinderella story, but it's not. See, marriage breeds selfishness. And marriage breeds self-centeredness. And marriage is awesome when it works. Woo! When it's derailed, there ain't nothing good about marriage. Some of y'all sitting over here going, I am not even looking at my spouse right now because I ain't even going there. The pastor trying to take me there, but I'm not going there. No, I'm not going. The wife is squeezing the hand going, you say one word. All right. James says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father is this. So are we not supposed to be holy individuals? Are we not supposed to be individuals that put our lives as an example for the world to see? You know, I know pastors that if people are living together and they know that their life needs to be right with God, that he will tell the people today, okay, if you're living with Nancy and you want to get married, then you separate for 6 months and then we'll talk about marriage. There is nobody in this world that will do that. A lot of times we get together for financial reasons to help, but we still love. And our chance or our focus here is what I want you to do is to look at your life and become pure. I want you to be undefiled in your religion. I want God to look at you to go, they are doing the best that they can. And we want to help put an imperfect couple to be perfect in the sight of God. Whatever that takes. But it says to do this, we have to visit the orphans, and you have to visit the widows. In the old days, in Jesus' days, a lot of people died early because they didn't have the medicine like we do today. And then God said, take care of that woman. Take care of those children because it's important. Well, okay. And then it says, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. But think about trying to keep yourself unstained. You think that this world doesn't want to throw, you know, mud on you or just the things of the world? The world wants you down, but God says, I want you pure. And the only way to do that is a single-mindedness to go, I have to start my day with the Lord. I've got to finish my day with the Lord. I have got to have some single time with the Lord. Now, it is our Christian duty to value single people. Well, why is a single individual so important? Well, first of all, if you are single in this church, whether you are divorced, whether you have lost a spouse, whether you just haven't gotten married yet because God hasn't brought that special person to you, single people are our greatest assets. And single people should be having a blast. But you see, single people have the ability, single people have the time, single people have the faith, but what don't they have? Resources, because they live alone. Well, James goes back and he says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. See, Pam said just a minute ago, if you've got a child that wants to go to camp and you don't have the money and you're a single mama, we will make sure that that child goes to camp. Because they need to go to camp for two reasons, and we laugh about it. Sometimes mom needs some time alone.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And sometimes the kids need time alone.
Yes.
From mama. I like this row over here, man. It's like, amen, hallelujah, there we are. But if the single person can't because they don't have the resources, then when two people share the money together, maybe the single can't, but the married couple can. See, married people don't have the time. But married people do have the resources. Now, if you are single, God intends to use you in such a radical way. And again, it makes no difference if you are a widow or a widower. Your life is not over. What you learn through your years of marriage is invaluable. What you could share with a single individual is invaluable. But if you are single, God wants to use you in such a radical way to turn the world upside down for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Singleness is a very unique period of time so that you could have this undisturbed devotion for the Lord. You know, they say if you do things seven times, you create a habit. And if you have the singleness of mind to go, I am going to journal 7 days in a row, you will find that you have created a habit and you will begin to see the need and the importance and the outcome of doing it. If you're single, look for ways that Satan might be undermining your mission with short, simple pleasures. You know, go to the mall today and look at the single people. They've even had it on Facebook in America's Funniest Video. Everybody's like this on their iPhones. Either they'll fall in the pond, off the curb. Candidly, we had a deal here that was very tragic about a year ago where a lady walked right in front of a car because she was on her iPhone. You know, Satan will do whatever he can do with all of the gadgets that are out here today to get your mind someplace else. And you need to be aware of what he's trying to do. 1 Corinthians 10 says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Now, if you're single, then say yes to spontaneity. If somebody wants to be just spontaneous in their life, to go, this is so cool, I can say yes to coffee, to visits, to shut-ins, to minister at the hospital. You could say yes to missions. You could just go, yes, yes, yes. Again, singles have the time. The married people have the resources. We need to blend it together for the cause of Christ. Now, if you're single, practice selflessness. Do radical things in times concerning things for the Lord. Now, here's this. If you are single and you are looking for a mate, find that mate on the front line working for the Lord. That's where you'll find your mate. And then hope in Jesus more than marriage. And if you focus on the harvest, you are bound to find a helper. Now, I want you to read this with me, and this touched home to me. We all need to be single-minded because Satan wants to mess with us. With our focus on God, we need to turn our demons into art. We need to turn our shadows into friends. We need to turn our fuel, our fears into fuel, our failures into teachers. Your weaknesses and the reasons so that you'll keep fighting and never again waste your pain. Because if God is for you, then nobody could ever be against you. Amen. Single, satisfied, and sent. Who's going to go, Lord, send me? Because there's money in this church. Yeah. No, you married, baby. You got to stay here with me. You know, it's really tough. You preach a message and they don't get any of it, you know? Golly gee. We love you guys.